start. Sooners of Oklahoma, 12-0 and still looking for respect nationwide.
What is going on, Sooner Nation? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Barry and Mac Show. As always, myself, Barry, personal trainer, sports performance coach out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And alongside me, former Sooner wide receiver, 2000 national champ, Mr. Damian Mackey. How are we doing this afternoon, D-Mac?
What's going on, B? Doing okay. Yesterday, got some news I wasn't excited to hear. One of my bros near and dear to my heart, man, a guy who I spent a lot of time with while at OU, a guy who always brought the energy, always was bleeding crimson. And really, you go through those battles with on the field during off season. And I was just listening to a podcast. He did a pod with J.D. Runnels a couple of years ago. It's been since the BV days. And just listening to P. Fletch, I called him P. Fleazy, listening to P. Fleazy talk and how much pride he had for our university him being there in the mud with us, turning the program around from the dark ages of the mid-90s to a championship caliber team. Just very hard to see, we're at a point in life where our teammates are starting to pass away. And to hear, a lot of people don't know this, and I don't think it's been reported. I don't know, but I have a very acute allergen to tree nuts. I am very allergic to tree nuts, and there's a story behind it. I have been able to overcome peanuts and pistachios simply by introducing it to my body in very small dosages over years. Thank you, Trick or Treats and Snickers. And thank you to my grandma. True story. Yeah. Trick or treating, wow. Snickers. I used to eat around the nuts in the Snickers because I wanted to eat the chocolate. And that's that small exposure over time. And then my grandma would eat pistachios and she would kind of put them in my mouth. And so those two, I am actually not allergic at all, but most other nuts will tear me up. And P. Fleazy, being a generally healthy guy, really had his life ahead of him, taking care of his family, his children, and the other things. And to hear that potentially an allergic reaction, I forget the scientific term that they use for it, was potentially the reasoning behind what happened to him, man. It's just brings life to reality. And salute to all of our teammates on social media, all over all the different platforms, posting pictures. Pat, he wrote a book about our championship season, hearing his story. His dad played for OU. His older brothers were walk-ons at OU. Obviously, he was a guy who played for, scored a touchdown, threw a touchdown at OU, was our holder on special teams for kicking field goals and such, man. Just much love to my bro. He was a real one. Every time we'd get together for our reunions and such, he always brought the smile, brought the energy, and really was connecting people. He's a guy who, when I would hear about some of our teammates going through difficult times, dealing with their own personal, things that they deal with in life, P. Fleazy was always a guy who was, hey, Mac, how can we get this together? How can we make this happen? God rest his soul, man. Good man. Good Sooner, phenomenal father, husband, all those good things. Today, just really thinking about him and paying tribute to a phenomenal Sooner who passed away way too soon.
Yeah, my memory of him, as a fan, and really, obviously, I knew he held for you guys. He was a holder on the championship squad. And kind of, made his hay in that way. I know he won the North Texas game. I think I was like 8 or 9 years old watching him win the North Texas game in 98, believe it was.
My redshirt freshman year season, yeah.
But I want to ask you, because my first real exposure to him, because back then, man, you really didn't get to see the players' personalities come out. Not like you do now with podcasts, platforms like this. But I remember watching the 2000 championship celebration that you guys did and him getting on the mic. And you could see that it wasn't like – you can always tell if a walk-on or kind of those kind of guys are like trying real hard, or if they're truly accepted by the, like, you can tell, right? Well, what's real and what's not. and you felt the authenticity of him and the love for the university really shine through with that, that meant a lot to him to be a part of that. But was that something that you got to see behind the scenes as well? Was that energy really present behind the closed doors?
Listen, man, P. Feliz is from Norman and was a quarterback at Norman High. Beat JT Thatcher out at quarterback in high school. If Patrick was 3 inches taller and 40, 50 pounds heavier, he was a baller. He threw a tight spiral. He was smart as hell. He was agile. You know, he was a guy, he wasn't going to beat you in a race, but, you know, probably a 4.75, 40 guy with a little bit of wiggle. And he kind of has swagger. And so, you know, my first year on campus was the year where he started a couple games for us. One that he won the North Texas game, and then obviously against TCU, he was pretty much every quarterback played that game, and so we found a way to win, though. Found a way to win. But, you know, Patrick's a guy who earned his stripes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he earned starter reps. And granted, he didn't earn them with Bob, but, like, he earned them. He was a guy who, like, bro, I scored TDs. I threw TDs. And he worked. You know, we had a lot of walk-ons who they'd show up for off-season because it would lead to spring, but they wouldn't necessarily show up for summer because they knew they weren't going to play. P. Fleazy was there every workout, working his tail off, getting stronger. And there were days where we may not have, you know, wanted to have a good day. And he'd be like, come on, D-Mac. We got, you know, like, he was one of the guys in the mud with us. I'm going to try to find the link and post it in the comments. I want people to watch this interview he did with J.D. Runnels. And it could have been last season or two seasons ago, but it really conveys his love for the university. And I got to say, P. Fleazy is an ingredient that was extremely necessary for us getting to where we got. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's some guys like, obviously, Jay Hype, right? You talk about T. Marshall or, you know, those guys, like, they were linchpins. They were cornerstones to the success of our team in 2000. But, like, Patrick Fletcher mattered. And, you know, his contributions and his energy and, you know what I'm saying, those are things that mattered in February when we're doing offseason. They mattered in spring ball. They mattered in summer because you knew if P. Fleazy's throwing the ball, he's going to throw it where it needs to go. It's going to be a tight spiral. Like, he could throw the rock. Like, let's not kid ourselves at all. I'm just very aware now in my 40s of taking care of my body, being very careful around the things that I do. And I, you know, we lost Book in our late 20s. And man, I'll always remember Brandon Everidge. He was a heart and soul. He was a pup on our team, but still you already felt the amount of presence he had, even as a younger player. P. Fleazy's just one of those guys. You know, you can't really put your finger on it. Again, condolences to his family. The Sooner Nation lost someone who was a great one, I would say, the city of Norman, right? He grew up in Norman. His dad was a Sooner. He played for OU and then went back to Norman with his kids and was helping in the Sooners Helping Sooners initiative. He was a part of that initiative, helping, you know, get that thing up and going for the alumni. And so, man, just reverence, you know what I'm saying? And really just understanding the importance of cherishing life and, you know, those who go before you.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people commenting about their favorite memories of him and things that not just on the football field and things of that 2000 season, but also personal moments that fans had with him, interactions that they were talking about on the OU Insider board, which if you guys aren't members, go grab a membership, OU Insider, OUinsider.com. And in the comments, post your favorite Patrick Fletcher moment. If you guys had some personal moments with him, a lot of older alumni now who have been around, who remember him when they were younger, maybe when they were in school, whatever the case may be. If you guys have some memories of him or things you want to just talk about, put out there, talk about the kind of person he was or how he impacted you, put that in the comments. D-Mac, always hard to switch gears on stuff like this, but we've had a lot of requests in the past 48 hours, ever since OU Insider dropped the scoop on Monday, and it is Wednesday now, April 9th, that it may be a deja vu season at the wide receiver position.
I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So, in the name of Yahshua. In the name of Yahshua, I rebuke that.
I love that. So on I believe it was 7:30 a.m., Parker Thune had a report where it seems like, and I won't go into the details, at the end of the day, it seems like it's going to be a while before Gervonta Gibson gets back. We already know the status, or at least to some extent, what is going on with Jaden Gibson, sort of behind the scenes, and how that situation is unfolding, so to speak, with the injury he had a year ago. It seems like Satania is banged up. Burks has had trouble seeing the field. And before I pass it over to you, D-Mac, and get your thoughts from a former player, a guy who has been through the mud, who's had a history of physical practices and playing the receiver position at a high level, right? Yeah. At a certain point, and I know Venable said they were going to be a little less physical this year. They were going within the practice setting. They were going to just monitor things. We talked about that on our last episode. But from a sports and exercise science standpoint, whenever you continue to have the same result, right? This is a results business. The record at the end of the season for Venables is really what matters this year. Who you put on the field on that first game in fall, that matters. Who you can keep healthy to get there, that matters. At the end of the day, if you keep having the same thing happen to the same position group, where it is long-term injuries and guys not being able to recover and get back, you have to evaluate, reevaluate, and address things. And if you've addressed something and it's not working, you got to go back and fix it again. It is just the nature of the beast. You can't just keep blaming the situation. And I saw folks, and I won't unpack this a ton, but I saw folks saying, well, you know what? Freak injuries happen. Well, yes and no. I don't know if you saw the comment I posted on my board post over there on OU Insider. But when it comes to quote-unquote freak injuries, and I use an example of Joe Mixon, right? Let's say Joe Mixon is practicing when he's at Oklahoma. And let's say leading up to a physical practice or scrimmage when they were doing a full contact run through, he had that week, he had had big heavy lifts. The volume was real high. Maybe he ran a little too much. And his CNS, his central nervous system, was experiencing insane amounts of fatigue. Well, when that happens, that affects a lot of things. One of those being your neuromuscular control, your ability to just make your body move, right? There's some days as a player, I'm sure you felt more bouncy than other days, right? Some days you felt like you could jump out the gym and some days not. Some of that is CNS fatigue. And if he's running to the outside and he's got a guy, let's say a blocker is being pushed into him, and normally he's able to just see that, assess the space, and scoot over. But this time he's a little slow to move. He gets rolled up on and fractures his ankle. Is that a freak injury? Is that in a vacuum? Or was that a little bit due to the fact that his body had just accumulated so much unnecessary fatigue, or maybe necessary, but not enough recovery time? All of this, nothing is in a vacuum at this point. So with hearing the injuries and hearing what I kind of had to say on the subject, how does OU address this and just get the result changed? They got to have healthy guys come fall, D-Mac. And right now, it's not looking like, at least through the spring, that will happen.
So I'm going to push back a little. I'm going to agree a little, and then I'm going to provide a little, I don't know, personal context. Here's my pushback. And we both talked about this before we went on air. Burks is believed to be healthy, being held back because of stuff like this, right? So we got to say, okay, we should assume, and I will assume because summer and fall camp has to happen first, right? But we should assume that Burks should come back healthy. Jaden Gibson, you know, hearing some things behind the scenes, like you said, I mean, I'll just kind of speak to the fact that right now he's a wild card, I think is probably the best thing to say. I don't think it's going to be so much of, is he still injured, which is potential. Setbacks happen. I think he had a setback right before spring ball. But I think he's also been a guy who's been emotionally charged. And so, you know, it seems like when he's engaged and making plays, he's a great team player. And then if he's not, potentially not. So we'll see what happens with him between now and then. But those two guys coming back provide a lot of stability. I think, and again, my pushback is simply that with Sategna, that's his name, correct?
Sategna, yeah.
It's a soft tissue hammy every year. Receivers are going to get hammies and ankles in the fall. And I mean, excuse me, in the spring and in the summer, just because of the amount of wear and tear. And again, I'm going to agree with you on some of what you're saying too. And then even the other injuries, I think, are minor soft tissue tweaks, which, you know, let me knock on wood. My desk just happens to be wood because how many soft tissue injuries do we hear last year? God dang, yeah, all of them, right?
Tissue issues.
There it is. So in April, aside from a fibula, which is probably a 4 to 6 months rehab in order to be in game shape, right? I want to go back to what you said. In a vacuum, I don't think it's a terribly big issue, but I do think you speak to some things that provide merit in that this is 2, 3, 4 seasons in a row. And I think that right there is the bigger issue. And I had an opportunity to read some of the things you were writing in terms of surveying the players and doing some really reflecting on what you're doing, having conversations with stakeholders, like having Schmitty in those conversations, having the OC in those conversations, having the position coaches in those conversations. It might even be pertinent to have some of the other, you know, baseball representation, basketball representation, just to see what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Relative to what we're doing, just to provide other context. And because you can't, right? You're right. This is a make it or break it season. We cannot afford to have undue injuries, unnecessary injuries, or injuries that science can tell us if we're going to eventually have an injury. We just can't afford those injuries this season. Bro, I wouldn't be surprised if they went and got another receiver in the spring portal. Like, if I'm BV, I am stacking the deck to winning. I am pulling out all the stops to making sure we're successful. You know, as an alumni and a guy who played for him and a guy who believes in his long-term vision, I want to see Coach Venables be successful. And I would hate for the injury bug. I think the receivers cost us a game or two if we got our top dogs. I think there's a game or two more that we can win last year if we simply have the guys we're supposed to have. By the way, irrespective of the offensive line, irrespective of the quarterbacks throwing the ball. I believe that because we had one of the most talented receiver groups in America on paper going into that season. And so to your point, you know, they do need to be looking at, I hope they are intentionally looking at what they're doing in terms of systematic approach, in terms of lifting, in terms of nutrition, in terms of recovery time, how they recover, right? And here's one, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak ill of my experience, but let me tell you, as receivers, while at OU, we were tired. We ran so much. We put so much mileage on our legs, and I think it was a time where Schmitty would just be on a, I don't care. Bob would be like, Schmitty, they're done. Schmitty would kind of be like, no. And Bob would be like, bullshit, they're done. Like, thank you, Bob. Because like Schmitty would want to prove a point. So just I say that to say, like, you put a lot of mileage on your legs. And I know, you know, Gibson's injury is, from what I've been told, maybe he got rolled up on, or right, it was some type of physical contact. It wasn't necessarily the soft tissue type where you just kind of put wear and tear. But Barry, in this season, we've got to be uber sensitive. We got to be hyper, right, attentive to what's happening, because we've got to put the best product we can on the field come August, September, October, and especially when we get into the SEC play, because there isn't a lot of room for error. And it's not like 02, 03, 04, where we had basically some of the best talent in America. Like, we had a stacked stable of receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. I mean, the run we went on skill from it really starts in 2000, 2001, and then it elevates the 80 years, and then the, you know, the DeMarco years, and then those receivers that came through with MC and those guys, MC and Broyles behind him, and then, you know, those skill guys, we had dudes who were bona fide get her done. We got a lot of guys who need to prove that they are even SEC good, and so we need to be able to put the best product we can on the field.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I know that times have changed. I think the threshold of what injuries are play throughable, and who knows, maybe Satania, maybe if they had a game next week, he might be playing, right? It's one of those deals where you really don't know. At what point as a team with Venables do you just break out the blue jerseys on some of these guys and just say you can't hit them? As I will say this, and I don't think this is unfair to say, there is a segment of the team, I was telling you this yesterday, there's a segment of the team who's like, man, I wish we would hit a little bit more. And as coaches, you got to balance that and understand that there is a lot of mileage. I spoke to that in the thread on OU Insider. Receivers and really the DB position when it comes to forceful impacts on the lower body. I'm talking high amplitude, massive amounts of volume on the lower body. Receivers experience it probably more than any other position. At offensive line, it's a little more like just a steady dose of volume. But with receivers, the jumping, the landing, the cutting, along with the lifting high weights, right? To be super athletic, you got to be able to lift big weights and lift them fast. That's a lot of impact on the joints. And at a certain point, when does that catch up to you? But is this something where, I don't mean to make a short here, but is this something where OU breaks out a blue jersey or two for your Deion Burks or your Gibsons or whoever the case may be?
You know, times have changed. And I would giggle. If it was our years, they would have got made fun of. You a quarterback? Okay. You know, like, oh, we can't touch. Like, our day. It wouldn't have flew. Or even if it was necessary, we would have giggled. Like, you would have been the butt of jokes. But in 2025, pay to play, NIL, right? The marketing machine that's happening. You're talking about a multi-billion, probably getting close up to the tens of billions, you know, 20s of billions dollar industry. You got to protect your assets. I would not be opposed to making sure guys were available to play on Saturdays for the sake of blue jerseys. Again, one caveat is this is spring. ACLs and fibulas, I said that, I think I said it 2 weeks ago. ACLs and broken bones, yep, you don't want to have those in the spring because those generally don't heal up in time enough for camp. But even, you know, strain hamstrings and you know, high ankle sprains, all of those deals, they heal up over the summer. You really get a chance to get into the flow of things throughout fall camp and you can be ready to go. We saw it happen every year. But you're right. You know what really hurt our legs? It's cutting, man. You run a dig and you're running full speed and you got to stick that foot in the ground and head and shoulders and you got to get it puts so much pressure. They throw a back shoulder fade. You're running full speed and you got to stick that foot in the ground and go catch it off your back shoulder. And you run that rep. You rep it. Yeah. That mileage eventually catches up to you. I'm on the fence. I hate that it was Gibson because remember when we got all three of those guys, three or four of them. I think Satania was like the fourth. But, yeah. You know, you were asking like Mac. I was like, Gibson, like his film, he looks like he could do something like a difference maker. So it's disappointing that he came and showed that he could do what the potential was. But I'll tell you this. Let me just tell you what it means. And this is why I say recruiting matters. I think ET or Manny is going to get a chance to get those reps and we'll see if they can come in and step up and, you know, be another person who can be depended on. Because what the silver lining in this potentially, and here maybe these are my rose color, my crimson color glasses, but the silver lining could be someone emerges the last five or six practices of spring and plays well. and becomes a guy that, because in more reps, they get more comfortable, more confidence, right? And now there's continuity with between them and Mateer and or Hawkins. And then we get Gibson back. It's essentially what happened with the initial Gibson and Anderson, right? Anderson kept getting sick, and because he kept getting injured, and because he kept getting injured, Jaden Gibson started getting reps, and then he started to ascend. And like, wait a minute, we got something here too. So I do believe this is an opportunity for one of those bigger, stronger, more burly freshmen that we recruited to come and show what they've got. Or it's going to be a big hole, and it's going to be a problem come August, September.
Last thing I'll say on the subject, and your comment on cutting reminded me. We saw, and this isn't a call out, this isn't to demean or degrade, but there were certain times a year ago where we saw what that field looked like, the main field for Oklahoma. And I will say this, that I'm a nerd for all things on the sports science side, and the ground you are on, the shoes you are in, all of that is a variable that matters when it comes to reducing injury. The quality of grass, the kind of dirt, the soil you're playing on, right? There's certain surfaces that are just going to be harder than other surfaces, right? There's other surfaces that are like almost too soft, like some of the older turf that they used to use, almost a little too soft, where guys who were really fast, they felt like it was a little bit of a disadvantage, right? They'd rather be on grass. They feel like grass makes them a little faster. And if I were OU, I would get a representative to, and I don't know if they do this, and if they do, to what extent, but if they can put a guy in orthotics, if they can get some shoes tailor-made for some of these guys, and just have somebody from the Jordan brand and somebody who is a foot specialist, and this may already be done to a certain
extent.
It is. Making sure that you are verifying that these guys are in the absolute right footwear, and not only that, holding them accountable to, you've seen this, you've coached, guys don't lace up their shoes properly a lot of times. Guys are sometimes lazy with the wraps or the tapes, or sometimes they're taping too much. I would argue that there's some guys who use braces in times when they don't need to be. Game, when you're going full speed, all for it. But if you could be in the spring, maybe you got a day where there's no contact, maybe the routes are going to be a little lighter in terms of the intensity. If you could not put on the ankle brace, not tape the ankles, not put the braces around the knees, and just have a day where you can build up some volume, some strength, get that knee, ankle, foot, whatever it is, a little bit of exposure to some of that, that's a positive. So, and these are things that I'm sure are being thought about, right? That they're not, everybody in that building is very intelligent in this space, but this is a little kind of inside baseball for the fans who, what are some of the things you're looking at? And to me, footwear and surface matter a bunch. And if that's not tip-top shape, if the practice field isn't tip-top shape, game field, all those things. I hear the indoor is always just a quality surface from what I've heard. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I hear it's a very quality surface, but when you're going outside and different things like that, well, what's going on? So before we get out of here, we, in our last show, one of the things we missed was touching on the loss of Devon Mitchell at tight end, transferring out, and what that means. Just a little stinger at the end of the show here, D-Mac. Give me your thoughts on him and just the tight end position as a whole, and then we'll get out of here for the day.
That's all I got.
There we go.
Listen, Canic? Okay, let me stop being petty. Let me stop.
Oh my gosh.
You want me to make some shit up? No. In all seriousness, here's the deal. Okay. Canic's going to do a good job off the line of scrimmage, being a sniffer. I think he'll do great going across the formation, doing some wham blocking and combo blocking and things that leading up through the hole on some counter trade type stuff. He's not an inline tight end. He doesn't have long enough reach. He's not tall or limber enough. Got DNs will demolish him if we try to line him up on as an inline. And so, but in that same vein, I believe he's going to create mismatch opportunities for us offensively, depending on how teams try to cover him or if they pay attention to him. He's a plus athlete. He's a guy who, if given opportunity, will go get to it and knows how to handle the ball. Outside of him, I haven't heard anything positive. My mom said, if you don't got nothing positive to say, don't say nothing. So with that said, I'll go back to doing this.
There we go. Good stuff as always, D-Mac. Sooner Nation, I want to thank you all for tuning in. If you guys are not subscribed, make sure subscribe to the Barry and Mac Show. Go over to OU Insider, OUinsider.com. Get yourself a membership. We got a thread over there. We've posted all the links. Guys, we're back on Apple. We're back on Spotify. We are rocking and rolling on all of those audio platforms. I know D-Mac has heard it from the folks on his side of the camp, and I've heard it a little bit as well. People like the audio version of the show. We want to make sure that we keep bringing that to you and share the show. Let people know what's going on. Let people know what we're doing here on the Barry and Mac Show. But also go follow us on social media. Instagram is at the Barry and Mac Show. DMAC on X is D_Mac13. And find me at B-Wise Fitness, at letter B, W-I-S-E Fitness. DMAC, closing thoughts, and then we'll get out.
Man, just pay attention to your life. You know what I'm saying? Love on and hug on your loved ones. Today's my daughter's birthday. So I flew to Cali to make sure I was with my baby. In fact, she's 11. My youngest is 11, which is crazy to me. And so, just life is precious. It really is. And we get inundated with the day-to-day activities and work and this and that. Take care of your own health, take care of your bodies, and love on your families, because you just never know. That's pretty much what I got to say.
Amen. Well, Sooner Nation, thank you all for tuning in today, and we will see you soon.